Good evening, everybody. I call the April 16th, 2024 regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance led by Eagle Scout Owen Morris from Boy Scout Troop 36 of Saugerties. Please join us. I'd like to now invite Legislator Levine and Legislator Maloney to the podium to present a Pride of Ulster County Award to Owen Morris in recognition of his newly accredited Eagle Scout ranking. Congratulations.
Owen. One of the most gratifying aspects of our job as Ulster County legislators is being able to commend and congratulate the outstanding model citizens of Ulster County. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to bestow this Pride of Ulster County Award to you for your recent elevation to the rank of Eagle Scout as a member of Troop 36 of Saugerties. The process of becoming an Eagle Scout is by no means easy, and the select few who pass the requirements learn invaluable life lessons, acquire countless skills, create lifelong friendships, and build a lasting relationship with their community. Becoming an Eagle Scout comes with a lifelong responsibility to live up to its merits, and I am confident in your ability to do so with the greatest of integrity. Your Eagle Scout project of restoring and replacing the outdoor stairs at the Mountaintop Arboretum in East Jewett helped improve the safety and usability of the stairs that are used by visitors and tour guides daily, and also preserve the integrity of the environment by reducing erosional effects. This project shows your love and concern for your community and epitomizes the model of what we expect out of an Eagle Scout. As an Eagle Scout, there is truly no limit to what you can achieve through hard work and determination. Many great citizens in our nation's history have held the rank of Eagle Scout, including the 38th President of the United States, Gerald R. Ford, and the first person to walk on the moon, astronaut Neil Armstrong. I know that the values and leadership skills that you have learned and acquired while striving to become an Eagle Scout will serve you well in all of your future endeavors. So on behalf of myself, Legislator Maloney, Chair Criswell, and all of my colleagues, please accept our most sincere congratulations to you, your family, and Troop 36 on your most impressive achievement.
Yeah. Owen, would you like to say a few words about your project?
Hello. For some of you who are just meeting me now, my name is Owen Morris. I've recently obtained the rank of Eagle Scout just last year in December. And my Eagle project, which every Eagle Scout has to complete to get the Eagle Scout rank, was replacing old steps at the Mountaintop Arboretum in East Jewett. These steps used to be out of old creosote ties, which were putting creosote into the environment, which wasn't totally environmentally safety for what the Mountaintop Arboretum wanted. So I replaced them with new wood, pressure-treated wood that allowed them to have a safe new steps for people coming around and hiking their trails.
That's excellent. Thank you. We're going to take a couple pictures. right, one more nice hand for Owen. It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skaticoke people, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. You might notice that there is a new flag flying outside the county building. I'd like to take a moment to give appreciation towards County Clerk Nina Postupak, Butch Denner, and the Ulster County Department of Motor Vehicles, who teamed up with Donate Life New York State in observance of National Donate Life Month, celebrating the life-saving impact made by organ, eye, and tissue donors. The Donate Life flag was raised at the Ulster County Office Building to encourage the public to enroll in the New York State Donate Life Registry, so thank them. All right, I now call on Clerk Fabella to read the announcements and call the roll.
Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearing end of session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton.
Here.
Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson.
Here.
Gavaris.
Sprint. Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett.
Here.
Harmon.
Here.
Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz. Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I am here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
You should tell.
Here.
And Wolf.
Here.
There are 22 present and one absent.
Thank you. Tonight we have a public hearing. Clerk Fabella, can you call that hearing to order?
I sure can at 7:18. Tonight's public hearing is on proposed local law number 3 of 2024, a local law amending Article 5 of the Ulster County Charter and amending Section Article 5 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster to modify provisions in relation to the Commissioner of Health or Public Health Director and the Medical Examiner.
Thank you. And do we have anyone here signed up to speak?
We do. We have one speaker signed up.
Thank you.
First and only speaker signed up this evening for this public hearing is Jane Schanberg.
Good evening, everyone, and congratulations, Owen. 3 years ago at a community forum in Gardner, I asked County Executive Pat Ryan why the 187,000 or so residents of Ulster County were obliged to leave the county to receive high-quality health care. He told me I wouldn't like it, but that he didn't have a good answer. I still don't like it. We have two poorly rated hospitals, one barely functioning. We have no consistent forensic nurse on duty to assist victims of sexual assault, who must in some cases travel to Westchester Medical Center for a forensic examination, adding to their injury. The single trauma center in the county is located in Ellenville, which is inaccessible to the greater part of Ulster County. We have a high percentage of seniors here, but few geriatric services. There are few places in Ulster County, I don't really know of any, to get a knee replacement. People go to Northern Dutchess or HSS down in the city, or a hip replacement, same, and nowhere that can handle a serious cardiac situation, as some of you may know Gloria Wasland, who was started out in Kingston Hospital, had to go down to Westchester for treatment. Women have their babies outside Ulster County because we have no accessible birthing center here. During COVID, our county health commissioner, a medical doctor, was pushed aside. The citizens of Ulster County had no medical authority to trust. The telephone at the health department went unanswered when everyone was frightened, and I know because I called many times. Now, with a failed healthcare environment, and I think it's fair to characterize it that way, we have this amendment that would remove the need to have a licensed professional doctor as the public health commissioner. If there was a catastrophic weather event or a terror incident or the like, nobody would be medically competent to direct the county response. What are you thinking? There's one clear answer. Ulster County needs a health commissioner who is not only an MD, but who has good administrative and emergency skill sets.
I'm going to ask you to wrap up your comments, please.
I will very quickly.
Thank you.
The people of Ulster County deserve a functioning public health department directed by a medical doctor who is medically and legally responsible for the county health. Please don't vote for this amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone present who didn't sign up who would like to speak on local law number 3? Anyone present who would like to speak on local law number 3? Seeing none, I ask for a motion to adjourn the public hearing. And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. I'd now like to announce birthdays for the month. Legislative Counsel Chris Ragucci, April 6th. Happy birthday. So I ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense.
And a second. All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office. They're available for inspection by contacting the Office of the Clerk of the Legislature. I now grant privilege of the floor to Peter Karras, Vice President for Parks and Stewardship, and Bob Anderberg, General Counsel for the Open Space Institute. Celebrating its 50th year, OSI has been committed to making the outdoors more accessible for all and promoting science-based conservation amongst fellow land trusts and government leaders. In honor of Earth Day this coming week, I now invite Mr. Karras and Mr. Anderberg to the podium to share OSI projects and initiatives. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Hello and good evening, Chairman Criswell, honorable legislators, audience attendees, and members of the public watching at home. My name is Peter Karras. I'm Vice President for Parks and Stewardship at the Open Space Institute. Through our New York conservation programs, OSI works every day to protect land and create and improve parks and greenways. And we strive to make the outdoors friendly and accessible so that everyone, regardless of age, background, income, or ability, can safely access nature closer to home. We champion increased public investment in parks and trails. We help raise private dollars to match that investment, and we bring capacity and expertise to make projects happen. And I want to thank you for tonight's invitation to provide a celebration of OSI's 50 years. And also an update on our Greenway Trails work funded generously by Ulster County. As noted in the 2020 Ulster County State of the Trails report, the county's Greenway Trails played an unprecedented and vital role in providing relief to residents and visitors during the COVID-19 pandemic. At OSI's own River to Ridge Trail in New Paltz, we experienced 150% plus increase in visitor use and visitor trips across the board. I was last year in late 2021 when the legislature debated and generously awarded OSI with $2.1 million of ARPA funding to implement 3 rail trail improvement projects in the southern part of the county on the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail and the O&W Rail Trail. I'm very happy to report tonight that we have successfully completed all 3 of the funded projects generally on budget and with time to spare. And if I had to describe all the work and coordination in detail, we'd be here all night. But picture's worth 1,000 words, so let me take you on a tour and show you what we accomplished. The Wallkill Valley Rail Trail from New Paltz to Gardner is a 5.5-mile section, included the rehab of 110-foot Plattekill Creek Bridge. We made dramatic safety improvements to 7 road crossings between Gardner and New Paltz. And this is an extension of a larger $3.5 million investment over the past decade by OSI and partners in the full rehab of the Wallkill Rail Trail. Some before pictures. This is what we started with. The trail was increasingly narrow going south, including muddy sections, not very inviting. And when we were done, we widened the trail, widened the vegetation, laid down a 10-foot-wide crusher-fine surface for everybody to enjoy, wide, flat, open trails. The road improvements, this is Old Ford Road in Gardner, the before and after picture. Major safety improvements, including signage, some containment to bring trail users safely across the road, and advanced warning signage for vehicles. The Plattekill Creek Bridge, this is our biggest bridge to date, 110 feet. So it's 50 feet off the ground. This probably has the prettiest view of the Gunks in the Hudson Valley over the Plattekill Creek. And we found the bridge at the end of its life with some rusty chain link fence and some rotting wood. We stripped it down to the steel and rebuilt that bridge, brand new composite decking, compliant railings, and put benches on there in cooperation with the town and the land trust. The entries in New Paltz and Gardner. And then last May, some of you were able to join us, but we did a nice ribbon cutting of that section when we opened it. The O&W in Accord, this is a picture of what we started with. This is a rock cut just south of the entrance in the hamlet of Accord. This project, and you can see the funding that was applied from the county grant, 3.8 miles, owned by the town, managed by the town of Rochester, included two new trailheads and bridges. Similar condition to what we started with. The O&W is a little older in its abandonment than the Wallkill, so it was in a little worse shape. You can see some of the before pictures here, standing water, fallen trees, in a really, really narrow traveled way. We opened it up, similar, vegetation removal, widening, new material, new entrances. This is the new entrance in Kerhonkson, before and after. And this is your typical view along this stretch. It's very pretty running along the Rondout Creek, and that's my wife who's modeling in that picture right there. And finally, Ellenville North, 1.8 miles, owned and managed by Ellenville and Wawarsing, included new kiosks and a new trailhead improvement in Ellenville and a new 50-foot pedestrian bridge crossing the Shingle Gully. Similar condition, this is a little less wet, but a little more rugged near Ellenville, during construction on the left and after on the right. A section of the O&W that was on the D&H Canal towpath, again, before and after. And then the 50-foot bridge over the Shingle Gully, this was actually a flatbed tractor trailer when we found it. Pretty ingenious bridge on the left. And then a brand new steel truss pedestrian bridge carrying users over that water course. And then because we can get creative, we worked with Wawarsing to help a stranded New York State SAM grant by then State Senator Jen Metzger, integrated that into the project and delivered a new 1,000-foot stretch and a new bridge in Port Bend to this beautiful view on a bend in the Rondout Creek. All of these improvements are fully accessible, universally accessible, and they're just been a real success in these communities. Broadly, by the numbers, you can see the ARPA grant totals on the left. Projects came in a little higher. We were able to manage that with some great partnerships, but you're seeing about a 12% leverage on the county funding from OSI and then that including that SAM grant. So $2.4 million of improvements altogether. And as I mentioned, partnerships, they were so important here. The town, only from the legislature to the ARPA committee, I can't speak highly enough of the folks in the finance department led by Nate Litwin and also Ashley and Molly. Dennis Doyle was so helpful in helping us work through some questions. And then our partners with the Wallkill Valley Land Trust, the town of Rochester, New Paltz, Gardner, and Wawarsing. Our contractor, Paul Colucci, excavating. We kept all this money in Ulster County. The contractor for all three projects is from Gardner, so we kept it home. And then, of course, the OSI team, joined tonight by Annie Berglund and Bob Anderberg, and then some of our folks that work in our development office. Greenways really benefit communities in a proven variety of ways, and plainly said, communities with easy access to trails and nature and each other benefit. OSI last year released what we call Growing Greenways West of Hudson. This is a regional network for a connected greenway trail system across Ulster, Sullivan, and Orange counties. 7 major trail corridors connecting dozens of communities, and at over 250 miles in length, when we're successful, this would be the largest feeder trail system into the Empire State Trail. Arterial to that vision is the O&W, and OSI is it serves as a key central feature to the entire vision, reconnecting Kingston with the city of Port Jervis in Orange County. Supported by a $500,000 New York State Environmental Protection Fund grant and private donors, we're in the beginning stages of a planning study to better understand this corridor's history, current physical ground conditions, existing access and public use, as well as potential routes and connections to town centers. We're laser focused on Ellenville, specifically on an emerging 16.8 mile segment of the O&W between Accord and the Sullivan County border with connections to Minnewaska State Park. We provided a funding brief, actually, to the finance department outlining an additional capital project connecting Ellenville with Port Bend should there be interest and additional ARPA funds become available for appropriation for the end of the year. On the Wallkill Valley Rail Trail, we're not done yet. We're focused on the area between Gardner and Wallkill, including the gap created by the lands of the Wallkill and Shawangunk Correctional Facilities. This is actually a problem where the county could be helpful in helping us lobby the state to grant a public access easement across these lands, similar to an easement granted in Ellenville across the Eastern Correctional Facility for the O&W. But notwithstanding this gap, we've also provided a funding brief for the finance department for this to be an additional potential ARPA project. And finally, I just want to touch on the county-owned Ulster and Delaware corridor. OSI was involved in the initial feasibility study for the 11-mile Ashokan Rail Trail, providing funding for engineering consultants. We are keenly aware of the historic and recent proposals of the corridor, and OSI would like to offer our experience and our expertise, if at all helpful. We have detailed and relevant information of the full 6.5-mile corridor segment between the Midtown Linear Park and Basin Road, including testing the current rail with trail and to-be-determined designations for feasibility and impact, and we'd be happy to share that information if requested. In closing, we'd like to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation to the legislature for its trust in us to deliver on these impactful and equitable projects that really showcase the power of public-private partnerships. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for all you're doing for Ulster County. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now I'm thrilled to call Legislator Hewitt and Walls, Chair and Deputy Chair of the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee to the podium to present an Ulster County Lifetime Achievement Award to Legislator Manna Jo Green.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. First, I'd like to start by thanking Legislator Manna Jo Green for a number of things. First, for inspiring me to get involved locally. When I moved here in 2001, I heard all about Manna Jo Green, not only for her environmentalism, but for her involvement in elected politics. So she was one of my first heroes. And now, I'd like to also thank you for our long talks about garbage, about solar. We usually carpool to a lot of places, so we get to go to Albany together and spend about hours talking trash. And so I also want to thank you for your passion, for always bringing energy, environment, and sustainability into the conversation. And I have some big shoes to fill as the new chair of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability. And I want to thank you for your years of leadership. In recognition of your decades of environmental stewardship, the Ulster County Lifetime Achievement Award is being granted to Legislator Manna Jo Green for her engagement in environmental advocacy. Through her role in the campaign to close the Indian Point Nuclear Power Plant, advocacy work around the remediation of the Hudson River from General Electric's PCB contamination, dedication to shaping and advancing Clearwater's mission, and tireless efforts in the Ulster County Legislature, Manna Jo Green embodies the spirit of community and sustainability. So I'd also like to thank Legislator Walls for coming up, Deputy Chair of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability, and we would love for Legislator Green to say a few words.
Thank you, Chris, or Legislator Hewitt. I just want to say that this award really goes to all the people that I've worked with over the years, and I want to acknowledge the Trash Girls, former legislator Laura Petit, Emily Hauser, and Terry Liebeck, who worked for the DEC. Emily, Laura, and I worked for the UCRRA, and many of you probably think recycling, that we always did recycling. 33 years ago, that wasn't the case. And we took our recycling rate here in Ulster County from 4% to 40% in a decade. And now we have to take it from 40% to 80%. And so that's a challenge I'm offering. I then had the good fortune of working for Clearwater for 23 years, and that allowed me to accomplish some of the things that Legislator Hewitt mentioned. But we are in a global climate crisis. Don't doubt that for a minute. And I have handouts at the front desk, of course, that demonstrate that. And so I'm going to ask all of your help with one particular project, and that is we now have an Ulster County 70 by 30 renewable energy implementation planning working group that was created at the end of the year. And the energy working group is actually doing a phenomenal job. And one of the things we're doing is municipality by municipality getting each town and the city to achieve 70% renewable energy generation by 2030, which is the state's goal. I want my grandson Emmett and his parents and all the people that are younger and future generations to have a safe environment and a restored climate for the future. And we can each do our part right here in Ulster County. I will send each one of you the team that we've created in every single town and the city. And please get in touch with your team, and they will be working to figure out how in every single town in this county we actually achieve the state goal to transition to renewable energy with storage and efficiency. And you know I could go on and on, but at this point, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a big round for legislation.
And my new chant of optimism is, we've got this.
At this time, I'd like to call up Minority Leader Kevin Roberts to give the Minority Leader address to the legislature.
Congratulations, Manna, on your award. It's much deserved. Chair Criswell, Leader Uchitel, Deputy Leader Levine and Lopez, my fellow legislators and guests, Mr. Chairman, congratulations on your appointment as chair of this body, much deserved, and thank you for entrusting three Republicans to lead committee chairs. That's much appreciated by all of us. It's an honor to be standing here as a minority leader addressing this body for the first time. I would not be here if it wasn't support of my caucus. We have three new members this year. I'm going to introduce them all to you. You probably know them, but Jason Kovacs is a municipal lawyer. He's the perfect choice to lead laws and rules. Eric Kitchen is an 18-year member of the Town of Ulster Town Board. He is currently a code enforcement agent for the City of Kingston. Richie Walls, retired Goshen PD, has worked for the Ulster County Attorney's Office and is currently a Saugerties police officer. Richie came to me. He has met with DA Ninji about creating a much-needed public integrity task force. Thank you, Rich. Our returning members, we got Tommy Cochran in the back. He's a high school football coach, a Marlboro code enforcement agent. He's also the chair of the ARPA committee. Tommy brings a wealth of knowledge in maneuvering through complex federal guidelines. Herbie Litz is not here as a former Lloyd councilman, planning board member. Herbie brings a lifetime of construction and farming experience to this body, and he'll tell you about it every chance he gets. Gina is the chair of the law enforcement committee. Community service is in your DNA, Gina. I'm proud to be a friend of yours and a confidant. She does her research and always makes an educated decision. Craig Lopez is an amazing legislator and man, quietly gets the job done. He's currently working on a couple of public health resolutions, and I look forward to seeing them fully implemented. Together with Minority Counsel Pascal, we make the Republican caucus. We have proven to be responsible partners and providing the best service for our constituents. We will work with our Democrat colleagues and County Exec Metzger whenever possible. Together, all of us passed 90% of the resolutions put forward each month to ensure the day-to-day operations of this body run smoothly. We must now work together to solve the big issues that confront us. For years, Manna, we've talked about solving our solid waste management system. We can agree that trucking our waste 570 miles round trip is not sustainable. A solution must not be limited to or focus on dinosaurs from the past. Not one town is stepping forward to say, put that landfill here. We have for too long neglected to consult our town leaders on any landfill discussion. A solution should come from this body, not the Resource Recovery Agency. How can legislators have an open dialogue with an Ulster County-created agency when RRA management has filed a lawsuit against a sitting legislator in an attempt to silence him? The RRA contract expires March of 2025. This body should explore all options before renewing that contract. I recently met with Legislator Stewart, Leader Uchitel, the County Exec's office, to discuss a rent stabilization fund for renters and homeowners in crisis. Can we find a solution to help families in temporary crisis, such as taking care of a sick child or loss of a job? We have diverted $18 million for future decarbonization programs, $18 million for a government operations center, $15 million for housing developers, and $6 million for a tax stabilization fund, a total of $57 million. Several million of that money should and could be diverted to help families in crisis from losing their homes. A long-awaited county-funded report on the EMS services was released last month. That report should be a starting point to give the town's guidance and support to solve this problem. The Republican caucus, of course, is here to help. Tonight, we're going to pass a mental health crisis center for children. Once again, the southern part of this county has been neglected. This policy of centralizing services in Kingston is not only short-sighted but dangerous. A recent study by Oracle, the Sheriff's Department, shows that intentional non-fatal overdoses happen in the southern and central Ulster County more than the other three regions combined. Over the last decade or so, property taxes have been flat, 12 years without a property tax increase. We should all be proud of that record. Now is the time to consider major initiatives to lower taxes. With over $100 million in the bank, It is obvious that we have overtaxed the hardworking residents of this great county. Mr. Chair, thank you once again. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, sir. I now call up Majority Leader Abe Uchitel to give the Majority Leader address to the legislature.
Thank you, Chair Criswell, Minority Leader Roberts. I would first like to thank my Democratic colleagues for putting their trust in me as your Majority Leader. People often ask me where our caucus is on an issue, and I will tell you that that is one of the hardest questions I ever have to answer. Our diversity of thought leads to late nights and heated debate and seemingly endless policy research. It may feel daunting, especially with caucus meetings lasting hours longer than our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, although I understand that might be changing soon. But a great deal of notable legislation has come from this approach. Since the Democratic caucus has had control of this chamber, some of the legislation that we have enacted includes free fares on UCAT buses, which have resulted in an unprecedented increase in ridership, providing legal representation to residents facing eviction, creating the first of its kind fund to invest in affordable housing, strengthening our human rights law to protect all expressions of gender identity, and setting in motion a much-needed crisis stabilization center set to open later this year. Being the party in the majority does not only mean that we are able to lead the way in terms of policy setting. It also means that we must serve as a critical check on the executive. When a hard-fought piece of legislation is passed by this body, for some of us, it may feel like the finish line in a long saga. The fact is that when a policy is passed by our body, that represents the starting line for the executive branch of government. With so many initiatives rising to meet the many challenges in our community, this work to collaborate with the executive branch has become one of the most important roles for this body. We're fortunate to have a county executive like Jen Metzger. In my experience, Jen is very open to feedback, is supported by an incredibly talented team, and brings a passion which is very authentic and powerful. In many ways, this year marks a new generation for the legislature. A third of our members to this body are new, and we have new leaders in nearly every position. But while it's true that we've got a lot of new faces around here, the legislature has actually been a source of much stability over the recent years as the county executive seat has turned over multiple times. Because we are a rather large body, the truth is that we're the continuity. We're the ones making sure that good ideas don't get lost in the shuffle, ensuring that legislative intent of initiatives set in motion under one administration are still prioritized by the next. In addition to all of the policies that both caucuses have set in motion, there are also the day-to-day details that the often unsung heroes of our county deliver to our community through every level of the county workforce, in every office, and in every position. In this way, so many of our goals come down to one fundamental question. How can we support this county workforce to bring forward the best possible version of county government? The legislature can pass all the laws we want, but everything we propose will be carried out by that county workforce. I hope that in the term ahead, we continue working together on a bipartisan basis to support the workforce, to make sure that any new initiatives that we press forward with are given their best shot at success, and that every county employee is granted the dignity to be the best possible version of themselves for the county. And on the topic of bipartisanship, I want to give a nod to my counterpart, Minority Leader Kevin Roberts. I'm excited to find ways to keep working together. Not a week goes by that we don't speak, and I truly value the rapport that we've developed. There's so much that our caucuses can accomplish together. And now I would like to close with some advice for our new members. First, don't ever let anyone tell you that your ideas are bad, not even me. One of the secrets that they don't tell you about this job is that seeing problems is easy, but coming up with ideas for how to fix them is hard. And we need your new perspectives. We need your new ideas. Second, do not get distracted by the noise. We may never escape the voice of naysayers who call us names or question our motives, but remember that you are the signal, and the noise will not stand in our way when it comes to helping our constituents. Finally, do not lose sight of the reasons you got involved in the first place. Ulster County is an incredible place with incredible people, and from the county workforce to the passersby on the streets of each community. You'll soon learn, if you haven't already, that there is no glory for us. It all begins and ends with the people we serve. So keep focused on what matters. Always look to find common ground. Ignore the noise that seeks to destabilize, and always keep helping people. Thank you.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to move us into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everybody that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening towards the end of our session. If you need a reference for our agenda, we have a QR code available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
We do. We have 3 speakers signed up. The first speaker signed up is Tom Smiley.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I'm here to speak about the occupancy tax law modification that's currently being discussed by the legislature. I've read a few things in the local paper recently, and I've listened to the proceedings of a couple of the committee meetings that have been happening recently, and I just want to respond to a couple of the items that I've seen or heard in there. One of them had to do with how our rates wouldn't, basically you'd be paying less occupancy tax to come to Mohonk than you would to go to another local hotel. So I actually looked at a local hotel for mid-May, and another nice property. It's about 10 years old. All they offer is a room and, a continental breakfast. It was $141 a night for a two-night stay for two at this place. Those same nights at our property, it's $939. When I ran the calculation based on the proposed legislation, we would still be collecting 33% more occupancy tax even at those rates. The thing that isn't talked about in that article I saw in the paper is that we would also be collecting 5.7 times more sales tax. So it's not just the occupancy tax we're collecting. We have other impacts besides just that occupancy tax take. there's been some suggestions that, we don't care about affordable housing. I actually care very deeply about affordable housing. And in 2020, Pat Ryan asked me if I would join the Ulster County Housing Advisory Committee, which I did. And we worked with the Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress, and we drafted the Ulster County Housing Action Plan, which was released in 2021. On page 112 of that plan, one of the recommendations was a funding source for housing, a housing fund, and that recommendation, one of the many recommendations, was a portion of the bed tax. As part of the committee that helped draft that, I fully support it. I think affordable housing is a major issue, not just in Ulster County, but across America. And I fully support that a portion of that occupancy tax should be going there. I just believe it should be the appropriate percentage, and that's really what this boils down to for me. I've heard a suggestion in one of the committees that...
Thank you, sir. I'm going to ask you to wrap up your comments.
Will do. Thank you. We offer housing, and we must underpay our employees to be able to offer that. We actually pay our employees well above minimum wage, and our average wage is right on par with many others in the county. But in addition to that, we offer 190 dormitory beds and 18 houses for our staff. That allows us to provide housing for over 25% of our staff. I don't know too many other large property operators, large businesses in Ulster County that are offering that much affordable housing. And by the way, we charge well below the state mandated limits, which even at the mandated limits, my lowest compensated employees
Thank you very
more
much,
than
Mr.
qualify Smiley. For the affordable housing limits.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Sebastian Pilateri.
Hey, everyone. Good evening. My name is Sebastian Pilateri. I live in Kingston at 24 Westchester Street. And I think the majority leader's speech about, the way I understood it was for everybody, everything, and for us, nothing. And that's a mantra of public service, and I hope it's a mantra of this body. Who are you responsible to? I think I know, because I was here when you all voted to designate housing a county priority. I was here when you all voted to make the UCAT fare free, which was wonderful. And I was also here when you all approved a resolution to increase the bed tax to be reasonable with our neighboring counties. And I believed it was framed as the wealthy out-of-county tax. There was this language around it that was very inviting because it meant that Ulster County would receive money for wealthy people coming here to pay for hotels that most of us don't stay at if we live here, to help fund affordable housing and transportation. I'm here now, I guess, to ask you to make good on those policies that you all laid out. You all designated housing a county priority. We need to fund that now. You can fund that by voting for the bed tax, by voting for designating those funds, 1% for affordable housing, 1% for the UCAT, and you can do that by voting against carve-outs for all-inclusive resorts. I encourage you to do those things, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
The last speaker signed up is Jen Benson.
Hello, my name is Jen Benson. I live at 297 Hasbrook Avenue in the city of Kingston. And I'm here to urge the legislature to vote yes on resolution number 167, establishing a policy to declare revenue generated from the collection of occupancy tax to housing and transportation initiatives, and to vote no on resolution 168, adopting proposed local law amending the tax for the exemptions. I commuted home from work today, and I normally drive like right at the speed limit, if not a little bit over, and there's one exception for me being happy to drive behind a slower moving vehicle, and that's a UCAT bus, because I'm proud to live in a county that prioritizes accessible transportation for everyone across the county and has committed to making our buses free. And I was following a full UCAT bus that only got more full as we were driving closer to Kingston, and people were making room for each other. People were taking their bags off of the bus so they could all reorganize and like safely be in a bus. But the bus was full. And we know that the rates of people using UCAT have gone through the roof now that it is free. And we need to continue to invest in that. Those are the people in our communities. Those are our neighbors. Those are the people that are working in businesses here, who are raising children here, who are just trying to get groceries, get their laundry done, and take care of their families like the rest of us try to do. And so this is an opportunity to invest in our transportation infrastructure. I have taken the bus a couple of times. I want to take it more. I want to see the bus go more places more often. And the fact that we have a way to fund that is equitable, that takes money and allocates it towards the common good, is really exciting.
Thank you. Is there anybody else here who would like to speak on issues before the legislature tonight? Yes, sir. There'll be an opportunity at the end of session to speak on issues that are not before the legislature this evening. Oh, okay, got it.
Can I just?
There's a resolution that you could speak. I mean, the bed tax resolution. You could speak on.
Or the person who didn't get called on that.
You're welcome.
I'm Andrew Ciappatelli, Chief Operating Officer of Rock and Horse Ranch Resort. And can I just give you guys this, please, for a minute?
Absolutely.
And so my business card. We did submit this to the working committee, but I want to make sure the full legislator got it.
Thank you.
Our industry has continually maintained that the occupancy tax on all inclusives is unfair. And the law never intended to tax anything except the room portion of the bill, period. Theoretically, all inclusives today could change their business models and separate charges for meals, horseback riding, and other recreational activities. And we would be in compliance with the law and able to set the room rate to whatever we deemed was reasonable. Even so, in good faith, we remain hopeful that our county officials will be attentive to our concerns. This is not a special handout. This is not a tax break. We are asking you to simply read the law, understand its intent, and apply it correctly. It's irrelevant and irresponsible to say that our guests can afford overtaxation. Suppose the IRS sent you a letter when you filed for your tax refund stating, "Dear taxpayer, the family vacation you took indicates you can afford overtaxation. So no refund is going to be issued to you this year." This is not right, and we have been overtaxing our visitors since 1991. This body put forth a bipartisan committee to gain a deeper understanding of this principle through meaningful input from our businesses. And that's what I just submitted for the full legislator. They understood these very basic concepts and were what seemed to be in support of the change. If the housing budget is the reason for intentionally ignoring the bed tax law's intent, lawmakers could simply better examine resolution number 167. Instead of overtaxing our visitors coming to the county, legislators could advocate to direct more of these dollars to the housing fund. Several legislators recently mentioned that only 25% of these dollars would go to the housing fund. Why not allocate 40? If it's a housing crisis, why wouldn't you allocate 40% of these funds to housing? 25% to the fund balance, which we heard has $100 million in it, 20% to transportation, and 15% back to tourism. In this way, we can ensure housing remains a priority and our county's largest economic engine of hospitality and tourism remains strong. Our industry pays dividends to this county. But if we stop supporting it and investing in it, those returns could diminish as well as our funding sources. There has to be a healthy balance for all of us to succeed. Let's make sure we get this right.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Yes, please.
Hi, my name is Samantha Turk, and I am the proud third generation of Rocking Horse Ranch, representing the business my grandparents built nearly seven decades ago. I first thank the legislators for the opportunity to continue to present the unique position of all-inclusives. We are beyond appreciative of your listening to how our expenses, aside from our room-only rate, are incomparable to STRs and hotels, substantiated with years' worth of data. We are here to discuss equity, not a tax break, for an organization that for 66 years has paid sales, property, and occupancy taxes, and has offered total job creation. Our hundreds and hundreds of employees have profit-sharing plans, 401ks, medical, and all of their meals are included. We walk the talk when it comes to affordable housing, as does Mohawk. We both provide this for a large number of our employees. Our average rent is under $600 per month, and we subsidize utilities. Regardless of what you think someone can or cannot pay, this is a room-only tax. It is not a ski hill, indoor water park, outdoor pool and slides with hot springs, 120-horse herd, ice skating rink, snow tubing, mountain tubing, laser tag, banana boating, bungee jumper, four meals daily taxed. It is a bed tax. There is a fundamental problem in relying on this for a problem as crucial as housing in the county's budget. What if we have another bad year, another pandemic? What if we go the way of Pine Ridge or our dozens of other former competitors? That is a loss of all occupancy and sales tax. We are not some, quote, mega hotel. Most of our kind, as I mentioned, have died off. For those unfamiliar with our business model, this is not a disingenuous plea. We are doing our best to stay competitive and reinvest. There are no rocking horses or mohawks in nearby counties. You simply cannot compare. We want our guests to pay their fair share on room-only revenue the same equitable way every other single hotel, motel, Airbnb, and short-term rental is. Do not drive the county's occupancy and state sales tax away. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues before the legislature this evening? Please state your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Molly Holm. I'm from Mount Tremper. The resolution about reinstating the trail committee. What I want to ask is, where is the rail part of the trail committee? We used to have a committee called TRAC, the Rail and Trail. So I have a lot of concerns about the issues that go on the 38 miles of the UND corridor that the county owns and operates. I went to a meeting in Shandaken about the rail trail that's going to be built in Pine Hill, and it was packed with people from Pine Hill who are extremely upset, worried about their properties, their privacy, their water, their town. I've had a lot of issues with rail explorers. I think that we're really missing having a committee that's designated to issues along the rail trail corridor, not just the trail. I feel like committees are here for the people instead of just the department heads. It's hard when the only people you can go to are Dennis Doyle of the planning department. I feel like the people who write the contracts for the county shouldn't be the ones that help reach out to the community. I think we need a more neutral body. So I really appeal to you to bring back a committee that also includes the rail, and that would be for CMRR too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, one more call for anybody who would like to speak on something before the legislature this evening. All right. Seeing none, I'm going to move us along. We are now going to move into the consent and non-consent agenda. Leader, you should tell, is there anything moving in or out of consent?
Yeah, we can move out of consent 177, 181, and 202.
Any objections with that?
None at all.
Thank you. On the consent agenda?
Hold on one second.
Is 169 in or out? All right. Let's throw that non-consent as well.
Okay, 169.
Any objection with that, Minority Leader? Thank you. All right. On the consent agenda?
On the consent agenda, we're short yes.
Short yes.
The consent agenda is adopted 22-0.
Thank you. All right, moving on to the non-consent agenda.
So we didn't take anything out of non-consent then?
We did not take anything out, even though.
Okay. So the first resolution in non-consent is 78, establishing a policy requiring nonprofit vendors to comply with applicable financial reporting and tax filing regulations.
Any discussion on this? Legislator Maloney.
I like the heart of it. I still have no faith that it's going to be enforced, and it just seems a little off when we can't even close out our own books and all the issues that we have in finance. I mean, we're the last county in the state to close out our 2022 books, which I'd get different answers whether it's even official yet. 2023, we're just getting on to. How the hell are we supposed to tell a not-for-profit or keep a not-for-profit in order when we can't even keep ourselves in order? The level of competence in our finance and our budget department has long been unacceptable. We don't seem to have the will, the backbone, or the intensity to fix this problem. And before we put up more policies that sound good, that are just going to collect dust and not be enforced, I think we need to kind of fix our county and fix our finance department.
Thank you. Legislator Collins.
So I just want to indicate that I have worked with the county executive's office and the county attorney to come up with how this is going to be implemented. And they have a plan for implementing it within their contracts to nonprofits. I think that plan is a good plan, and I think there will be in accordance with what the resolution is and what the intent of this body is.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was a supporter of this in committee. The more I think about it, I'm going to be a no. This is a resolution in search of a problem. I didn't hear any solution by the county exec's office on how they're going to get this done. There are probably hundreds of nonprofits we're going to keep track of. We also have a lot of small nonprofits that might not have the ability to get these things done. I know they should get them done, but the reality is they may not get them done. So I'm going to be a no on this.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes.
Short yes, one no me.
The resolution is adopted 21 to 1. The next resolution is Resolution 160, authorizing the Ulster County Executive to execute a contract with the New York State Empire State Development Corporation for state funding for the implementation of a Restore New York Communities Initiative grant and amending the 2024 Ulster County budget, Department of Economic Development.
Discussion. Legislator Maloney.
This is with 161.
Correct.
Is there about that
ability to pass through grant?
Correct, yes. Where to begin? Many years ago, we entered into an arrangement with Mr. Ginsburg. We allowed him to get away with murder, financial murder. A lot of the same parties were involved in this next deal, including Mr. Ginsburg, who we let off of $12 million in back taxes. It was actually that shady deal with Mr. Ginsburg and the allowance of not paying his taxes that had me start to investigate and find 701 Grand Avenue right down the road because they were using the same tricks. Fast forward, an individual that works for Mr. Ginsburg through the years, then accompanied our then executive, now congressman, and now works for Mr. Cotter. He helped craft the deal. The former head of economic development, the author of the CARES funding, he was in on that deal. Burke Golnick was the finance commissioner involved with all these dealings. Now we come up with a deal. $12 million was the deal, the same number that we didn't get from Mr. Ginsburg, who was part of this deal, was let off of liability, a let off of the back taxes, and I believe had a side deal where he made a couple of million. So $12 million was the deal, $7 million in remediation that this new company was supposed to do, and $5 million in cash payments. Later on, we learned that the $7 million in remediation that they were going to do, we gave them the money to do. We can now give them grants. They can use that money. So it's more of a $5 million deal. When requesting the receipts and the backup for the remediation they say they're doing, and keep in mind, this is a conglomerate, this company. They have their own construction firms. They have their own remediators. So in theory, they can do the work themselves. They're going to give us invoices. Is it going to match the exact amount of work? I hope so. If we'd gone out to bid, done it ourselves privately, pretty sure we'd get a lot bigger bang for our buck. No receipts were given. We still don't know how much the remediation is done with our own money. Now on to the $5 million they owe us. They're not paying us that either. They're not paying vendors. That's weird. Local vendors aren't being paid. And they're not paying their school taxes. All of this, most of us are just finding out. $500,000 some dollars they haven't paid. Going back, we were promised $200 million in the first 10 years that this company would sink into this, their money. That'd be $40 million up till this point. But all I see is tax dollars going in. And I know it's Albany's tax dollars. It's state money. State money tree. So there was also supposed to be some I-84 companies moving right over. They didn't come. We were supposed to have private sector jobs. They haven't come. There was a local not-for-profit citizen group that spoke at the initial press release that all the people in the community over there are for this group. The person that started that group and spoke at that press conference was then given a $20,000 no-bid contract to oversee the movies over at the Bank of America building. It's a nice coincidence. It all is just these nice coincidences. We don't get private sector jobs. We don't get money from this company put into remediation. We don't get receipts. We don't get school taxes. We don't get the money they owe us for the property. But still we trust. Still we hope. It's got to work. So now we'll move all these government jobs over, which was promised in an illegal side agreement with Mr. Ryan and Mr. Cotter, where he promised them 100,000 square foot of public leases, most of which wasn't talked about until the last couple of months when we ignored a space study and didn't cooperate with a vendor at $150,000. Nothing about that space study said a hell of a lot about any of this because we were in the process of creating the narrative of need for these public sector jobs to move over there. So now we'll vacate existing buildings, put existing public sector jobs over there, and eventually there will be some apartments, which will be beneficial to the company there. And still we hope, and still we're unanimous, and still we don't pause. We don't postpone until at least we get the receipts or the taxes or the money they owe us. But they will once we give them 10 million more. Like, how are they supposed to pay us with no money unless we give them some more money?
Thank you.
I'm sure now we'll hear how great of a deal this is.
Any further discussion on the resolution? I'm sorry, I have Legislator Hewitt.
I'd like to change my vote to a no and just address the tricks that Legislator Maloney just mentioned. I think it's very easy for for-profits to play these tricks because it's the way our society is built. We allow giant corporations that have leverage and the ability to move millions of dollars to get more millions of dollars. And it's just not the way it is for average citizens. So I'm a no on this.
Okay. So now I have Legislator Donaldson, followed by Legislator Nolan, followed by Legislator Green. Legislator Nolan.
I think it's Gödel's theorem in mathematics that says for any sufficiently complex set of data, there are an infinite number of possible explanations. And if a person looks at a complex situation and develops a narrative, they can bring all of the data points to support their narrative. When a person can also describe things as tricks, impute motivations, and basically create the entire story, it will hang together very well. IPARC 87 is a complex site. It has a complex history, and I think we should be diligent about how we approach trying to make it back into something that can do good for the community. I don't find that the allegations that have been brought forward here are all substantiated. I think there's a lot of circumstance and imputing motivations, and basically saying in retrospect, I could do it better. And I just haven't seen that kind of problem solving and doing it better coming forward. I believe that this site deserves to have $10 million of tax money that has gone out from Ulster County come back. I believe that the people who are now trying to create something good there should be supported in that, unless that is not possible. For me, it is still quite possible, and I think we're likely to have a better result pulling together to get it moving forward than trying to, I don't know what, stop it at this point, say no to $10 million from the federal from the government. Those tax dollars should come back, and we should see where we are when we have gotten another step or two down the line. I believe that this is a project that can succeed, and so I would call on people to support it.
Okay, I have Legislator Green, who will be followed by Hewitt, Collins, and Maloney.
I'm going to pass.
Legislator Hewitt for the second time.
Thank you. I just want to mention I do believe in the project's success, and I have nothing against national resources. I think that the game is to play these tricks. It's the game that we've set up. It's the way it's always done in America. But we can't play that game with nonprofits. Nonprofits are required to do audits, self-imposed audits. I just got a price for my organization. I have to pay $13,000 soon to get my own audit. And so nonprofits are required to do these audits so we could see who's profiting, what are the salaries, what is the excess revenue, and where is it going, how is it supporting the organization. These are all important things. But when you can hide millions of dollars because a for-profit doesn't have to show us the details, there's where the problems lie.
Thank you. Legislator Collins.
So back in 1982, as I was a senior in college, my first interview was with IBM Kingston. I didn't take that job. I ended up moving here in 1999 at the height of the depression caused by IBM moving away. That location was an economic driver for this county. It needs to be an economic driver for this county again. To do that, we may need to invest money in that. And this money that's being invested, this $10 million, is not even our money. It's the money from the state. We need to be able to use that money. We need to be able to reinvest that money into our county to rebuild the economic structure that that location gave us 30, 40, 50 years ago, a long time ago. That's why I support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney for the second time.
There is no public monies, just taxpayer dollars. Margaret Thatcher, the idea that I just heard someone say, it's not our money. These are state tax dollars. We exist in the state. We pay state taxes. We need to treat federal, state, and county tax dollars the exact same with diligence, oversight, and transparency. There's contamination over on this property that we haven't even talked about. Real scary contamination. Contamination that IBM put there and for the most part has been allowed to get away with some kind of containment, which a lot of people over there don't buy. I just heard some different comments that I think were directed towards me. Have they made their payments? No. Have they paid their taxes? No. Have they provided receipts? No. Was there an individual that supported the project publicly that was speaking at the original press conference that got paid $20,000 that even members of the EDA voted against because of that fact? Yes. Are there any private jobs created yet? No. Is it all public? Yes. These are facts. These are facts. This isn't a narrative that I've created. These are facts that I've laid out. It was also mentioned some kind of Monday morning quarterbacking, I think. I'm on the record years ago saying I don't like the deal. I didn't like the way the deal came about and that we should have taken the $30-something million in ARPA funds we had and done one or two big things. I would have liked to see us create that wastewater treatment department that Dutchess County has, so we can start looking into what we're doing with all this water. Where are we getting all our clean water? What are we doing with our solid waste? We didn't do any of that. What I really talked about was Tech City, taking that big lump sum of money, teaming up with the state and the feds. You're talking about $50, $60 million going over there and taking some of these old, blighted buildings down. Not polishing a turd. I use that term quite a bit. Not polishing a turd, not handing it off to some very, very impressive company that only has one thing in mind, and it ain't our people. It's not our constituents. It's their bottom line. You could talk to people from other iParks. They're not angels. They're business people. They're sharks in a good way, and that's a compliment. And that's what we're dealing with. And we've given the keys to the county to these individuals, and so far it doesn't look great. And I don't think it's too late to postpone, figure out whether they're going to be partners, whether they're going to give us receipts, whether they're going to put a little more skin in the game and not just be a middleman that we get 50 cents on the dollar for everything we want to do there, but to do real things. But going back a couple of years ago, yeah, we could have turned this into the lifeblood. We could have done a lot of things over there by starting from scratch, really cleaning it up, taking down those buildings that are never going to be anything, focusing on the few that were there that we could, making sure that property is clean and safe for anything we're going to build there, especially housing. But we didn't do any of that. We didn't do any of that. We parsed it up. We pissed away $1 million here and $1 million there in ARPA. What did we get for it? Some of it was straight up corruptly spent, just like some of us said it was going to be with the oversight and the transparency that wasn't being provided. And now here we sit. And we're just going to keep going like we always do. We're just going to keep going like we always do.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes with the following no's: Maloney, Donaldson, and Hewitt.
Short yes, I'm taking the money.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 19-3. The next resolution is 161, approving the execution of a contract for $10 million entered into by the county, iPark 87, LLC, Department of Economic Development.
Legislator, Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. I was originally against this for a variety of reasons that Legislator Maloney laid out. How could a big developer come in here and not pay his taxes? You know, that those taxes are have to be made up by the rest of the county taxpayers. The children of the Kingston School District are going to be shortchanged by him not paying it, or the county has to step in and pay it. I was assured by Deputy County Exec LaValle that they're in the process of paying their school taxes, probably with the $10 million we're going to give them. I was also concerned about the deferment of the mortgage payment. You know, surely this gentleman, Mr. Cotter, a multimillionaire with projects all over the Northeast, including iPark 84 down in Yonkers, and I believe in Wilton, Connecticut, a lot of revenue going to those projects. Surely he could take some of that revenue and pay his mortgage like the rest of us have to do. We're going to defer that off. I didn't wasn't too sure about the renovations there, but my colleague, Legislator Kitchen, who is from Ulster and that's his district, assured me that major renovations are going through. To the extent of how much, we don't know. We haven't seen the receipts. And Legislator Nolan did say, hey, it's easy to be a second quarterback after what was done, come up with other ideas how we could do it better. If I was in charge, one of the things I would do is demand those receipts if that was one of my subcontractors. So that's why I'm going to make a motion to postpone for a month, and hopefully Mr. Cotter will turn over the receipts to the renovation so we could take a look at them.
There's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
We're at it. It is an LLC. We have an LLC policy, another one of those policies that collects dust and doesn't get followed through on. Perhaps we can get an org chart and find out who makes up this this company in the meantime. We have a policy on the books about LLCs, but why not? And it's not, we're not turning the money down. We're just holding it for a second until we get a partnership.
There's a second.
Call for a long roll.
This long roll is on a motion to postpone resolution number 161. On the motion to postpone, Clinton.
No.
Collins.
No.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
No.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
No.
Harmon.
No.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
No.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
No.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
No.
Nolan.
No.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
No.
Stewart.
Yes.
You should tell.
No.
And Walls.
Yes.
The motion to postpone is defeated by a vote of 8-14.
On the resolution.
on the resolution, I'm going to call the same vote as the prior resolution with a short yes, the no's being Maloney, Donaldson, and Hewitt.
Short yes, one no, Roberts.
The resolution is adopted 18-4. The next resolution is a bond resolution, Resolution 166, authorizing the planning for the water service line replacement at the Ulster County Community College campus at SUNY Ulster in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $176,606, and authorizing the issuance of $176,606 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Aye.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm going to be a yes, but I just wanted to say that I had a discussion with Director Doyle and also Deputy Executive Capuano about the impacts of this resolution on the SUNY Ulster campus. Ever since I was elected to this position 2.5 years ago, I have been advocating for public housing, affordable housing rather, to be built on the SUNY Ulster campus. And I was told by both of those individuals that passing this resolution would assist in that effort. And for that reason, I am a strong yes on this. Thank you.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution was pulled from the consent agenda, and that is 169. Approving home rule request for Senate Bill number S-8065 and Assembly Bill number A-8875 in relation to hotel and motel taxes in Ulster County.
Discussion? Maloney?
Yeah. You know, I heard...
Legislator Maloney, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I don't care. Call me Joe. I heard somebody from the public mention something before about the rich out-of-towner tax. That was actually the name I came up with it. People thought it was too strong, and I didn't mean rich in a bad way, but if you're staying in a hotel for a couple $100 from out of town, not one of these unfortunate old flea bag motels which have become homeless shelters. I think we contract with 47 of them and have spent $11 million over the past couple just the past year, but a regular hotel or an Airbnb. I do think you're wealthy in the scheme of things. I didn't mean it derogatorily. It was my original resolution. When it came back, a different name got put on it and went back, and now I have no control over this resolution the way I had for years. And if I did, I'd be looking to postpone until we get the language right with the all-inclusives. There are other topics in this county that I've disagreed with all-inclusives on. It's no secret. But when it comes to horseback riding, ice skating, skiing, a water park, golfing, when it comes to these things, that was never the intent of the bed tax. It's literally a bed tax. And all we've done is move them down to a lower percentage where they still end up paying more for that room than anybody else in these other hotels. It's not just wealthy, rich people that go there. My mother's a real estate agent. My father is a retired electrician. They've gone to Mohonk Mountain House for their anniversary. So what I'm looking to do here is postpone this until we get this language right, until we have a real subcommittee, not a secret working group that doesn't tell anybody about it. And I've gone and checked the emails. It's been validated by other legislators. That email was not put out. We had what was called a working group, which isn't in our legislative verbiage. It doesn't exist. It's not a real thing. It probably violates open meetings law. They got together and discussed this. We have a problem. Let's get this right. Let's kick it back to committee. And while we're at it, when we start talking about earmarking for housing, maybe somebody can tell me what that means. Because I got shot down in a committee meeting the other day when I said, just give me an example of what this money is going to do with regards to housing. I'd love to hear it. We have a housing problem. We weren't even given a single example. I worry about enriching billion-dollar developers like Penrose. I worry about school taxes and schools, the great equalizer. Nothing surrounding this bed tax, this what happens right here at 169, is settled. Nothing settled. There's no specifics. We don't know what we're doing yet. And we need to hold off, and we need to treat some of the biggest employers in this county fairly. So I'll make a motion to postpone.
There's a motion on the floor. There's a second. Legislator Nolan.
On the motion to postpone, I don't think there's any change that would be brought for this resolution, which is entirely separate from the discussion of the apportionment. So that the motion to postpone would be for no purpose that I can see, except to try to link two things that are separate. There is a schedule of apportionment from lodging and other activities that the county is currently using. And we've had expressions of support from the venues that would be potentially using a new schedule to take our time and get it right without affecting the process of moving forward with the increase in the bed tax. So I don't think there's any point to a referral. I don't think these things are related. And I was present at a committee meeting where Legislator Maloney asked the question, can anybody give me an example of this? And the majority leader reeled off five or six. The first person who was asked, put on the spot, didn't answer. But others answered because we've been addressing housing with a full force of this body for the entire past several years, along with the executive branch. So I just don't think that the history of what I'm seeing goes the same direction as what has been presented at all. And this body came together to pass, you know, and send to New York State its intent of what to do on the actual occupancy tax level, to increase it from 2 to 4%, and then to try to deal more effectively with short-term rentals. So we should proceed with that.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney for the second time.
Yeah, I've spoken to other legislators. I don't think many of us heard of anything specific in that meeting, but it's a wonderful thing. We now have all these standing committee meetings online on YouTube. Go and watch. Watch when I ask the question and listen to see if you got a specific about how who we were going to give the money to and how we were going to approach housing. This puts us on the clock as far as getting the all-inclusives right, these huge employers here that need to be treated better. They could just parse out their receipts. They don't, because that's their business model, and we punish them for it. And we need specifics around what this money is going to go to. We haven't had it. Puts us on the clock, but look, I don't expect this to pass. I don't expect many of these things to pass or be held up. It's, you know, shoot first, aim later. It's how we do things here. It's how we do things on a lot of levels of government these days. It's very sad. Here in New York, it's one of the reasons people are leaving at such a rapid pace. It's not the weather. It's the taxes, and it's the government. And we are a wonderful example of that. I see it every day, and then I go turn on the news and go, that's just a higher version of Ulster County, a larger version of Ulster County. We got our own little Albany, Washington, D.C. right here. And so I'm sure this will keep going with no answers, no specifics. We'll figure it out later. And you know who else will – you know who's going to really figure it out? The developers, the sharks. They love us. They love how we go about things. They love how we throw money at nice-sounding things, and they're there to scoop it up. And they'll be there to scoop this money up too.
Majority Leader, you should tell.
I just want to clarify that this is not the resolution to allocate money to housing and transportation, nor is it the resolution to determine a carve-out for all-inclusives. And I just want to make sure that everyone is aware of that.
Thank you. On the motion to refer?
I believe we can be a short no with one yes, Maloney, and I'm not seeing anyone say otherwise. So we're going to be a short no with one yes,
Thank
Maloney.
You.
I believe we're a short yes.
Thank you.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Makes that defeated, 8-14.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're short, yes. With one no, Maloney, is that right? Yep, okay. Let's say that's it.
We're going to be a short yes on the reso.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. The next resolution is 172, appointing and reappointing members to the Ulster County Fire Advisory Board.
Any discussion?
Yes. I move to amend this to add the name of Legislator Collins as a member.
Thank you. And on that amendment, oh, need a second, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And on that amendment?
On that amendment, we're short yes.
Sure yes.
The amendment is adopted 22-0.
And on that resolution?
On the resolution, we're short yes.
Short yes.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted as amended 22-0.
And thank you for your service on this committee. Appreciate that.
The next resolution was also pulled from consent. That's 177. And that is providing grant authorization for U.S. Treasury reporting for the 2025 and 2026 ARPA administration estimated costs, ARPA Division, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
Discussion?
I'm under the impression this is
Legislator Maloney.
Yep. Just a quick question to the chair. Am I incorrect that this is the position in ARPA to be continued through multiple years or no? Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to ask our chair of ARPA to actually answer that question if he's willing.
Positions, yeah. Not the individuals, that's correct.
So
thank you.
So years ago, several years ago, when we were first finding out we were getting these ARPA funds, there was discussion and it was pretty divided amongst legislators on whether we were going to create these positions and spend a decent amount of the ARPA funds on these new positions. When they were created, if you go back and listen to the discussions, we were going to get innovators. We were going to get people that were going to come in and give us all these great ideas. The easy part was going to be the administrative part, making sure it's in our financial system, filings off with the state, applications. That was going to be easy, but we were going to get some people that were going to give us all these great ideas too. Fast forward, and we were promised sunset. This is a conversation we've been having up here forever. We create a position for a couple of years, but don't worry, it'll sunset. And I say it every time. We're incapable of sunsetting because it becomes a person. And no matter what this person does for us, we got to keep them. Not many people here have been impressed with what we've gotten out of these positions. And I think a lot of it's our fault. We didn't set them up for much. And all we did want was the financials filed in our financial system, whatever we needed to do with the state to be sent off, and the application processes. Got to a point where in meetings we were asking every month, what is going on here? We don't even know how much money we have. Nothing's being filed. Towns. Mr. Baden came here last month saying things are being held up because he's not getting the paperwork he needs for ARPA. And then we go and just go and extend this for more years, the last bit of these ARPA funds for the next several years. And I'm sorry, if this was a private company, this kind of thing just wouldn't happen. This just would not happen. We would move on. There's plenty of positions opening up in the county. You want to keep the person that bad, give them one of them. But this is not good government. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I just can't believe we respect the tax dollar and competence this little, that we've gotten to a point where we just routinely spend money like this with no accountability, no expectations.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution 180, amending the 2024 budget to fund the Mental Health Initiative to secure services for a children's mental health clinic, Department of Mental Health.
Legislator Hansett.
Thank you, Chair. I want to preface this with I am 100% on board for mental health services, including and especially for children. With that said, I do not believe this location is appropriate for children attending therapy sessions and services. Children going to planned appointments should not be subjected to people enduring mental health crises and people in active drug situations that are seeking harm reduction measures. I believe we should take a little more time to find a safer, family-friendlier environment for our constituents, especially our youth. I think we can do better, and we have the time. Minority Leader Roberts already spoke about the Oracle report and the need for more services in the southern end of the county. The statistics illustrate this clearly. Therefore, I would like to make a motion to postpone Resolution 180.
I'll second that motion.
There's a motion on the floor and a second. Legislator Maloney.
On the motion, I'm very much for this. The idea that we're going to, first of all, the majority of us found out about this this resolution in the Freeman a couple of days ago. And you start looking at the 911 center and Elizabeth Street and the triple net lease with a family member of the executive over at the Board of Elections. And all these, Burt Goldnick, CARES 1 and 2, you start looking at all of these disasters, and at some point, I think the legislature needs to demand involvement early on. We are the policymakers. We have to be part of this decision. The organization that makes a lot of us uncomfortable that is now in this building where we intend to put children has so many issues. It's in need of a high-level investigation, which I don't think it would hold up to. Just in 2022, there's $55,000 in missing cash. Once we start going through the rest of their finances, what are we going to find? What are they spending their money on? One thing that, in theory, we'll find is one of our colleagues floating a money and supposedly being paid back with interest, even though it's not on their financial disclosure form. Somebody that was involved with the building here that we're talking about. Somebody that oversees parts of the project. None of us care or want to get to the bottom of that. It needs to be investigated. It's not represented on their financial disclosure form. And we are going to take children. We had former legislators in here a couple of years ago talking about what he witnessed with this organization. We had children from the community come to public comment to tell us what they were witnessing with this organization. And now we're going to put kids in with this organization right there. Not okay. Many things about this, the specifics we're getting, the involvement we had, who is going to be the neighbors of these children. This needs to be postponed until we get a handle on this location, who's in that location, and what exactly we are doing. Two resolutions before this was in consent. It was to rescind the respite housing. I asked a million questions last time and got no answers for any of them. Are we using not-for-profits? Is the personnel there going to be county employees? Where exactly is it going to be? What are the specs of the building? Are we building from scratch? Are we rehabbing? We got no answers. And here we are years later rescinding that respite house. Don't we need it? Don't we need what was going to go on over at Elizabeth Street? We don't know what we're doing here, and no one seems to care. The executive branch of government brings us things. We ask very little questions. Anything that doesn't make sense, we're told, don't worry, it'll work out. It never works out. The only good thing we've done is the free buses. I'm convinced because I've been thinking about it lately. What has this legislature been successful at? What has the executive been successful at over the last couple of years? Free
Maloney,
buses. Can we postpone it?
Point,
can we finally postpone something and get to the bottom of it, involve ourselves, demand answers, and get it right, and make sure these kids, nothing happens to these kids while they're over there?
Legislator Collins.
I have a question about the postponement. My understanding is if we don't commit the ARPA money by the end of the calendar year, we lose it. Attempting to postpone this, to me, for an indefinite period of time, to do massive investigations, according to what I've been hearing, is probably going to make this money go away. So I don't understand. you know, what we're trying to do with trying to postpone this. I think that we do need a children's, you know, mental health clinic, and I think that this money will support that. So I'm not for postponing.
I'm sorry. I see Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's April. It'll be May next month. This plan was, to me, rushed through. I don't know how long the county exec's department has been working on it, but surely we could put a little more time, get this right, find a better location to get this right, maybe in the southern end of the county, as my colleague have said, and get it away from Somati. I can't, for the life of me, I can't understand why the county executive's doubling down on that organization.
Legislator Hansett. Legislator Maloney for a second time.
We could do a lost revenue resolution, take the money here, go do the lost revenue formula, then there's no clock. There is absolutely zero clock. I see a supervisor over there nodding because I'm sure Rochester did that on day one with their ARPA funds, just like the town of Ulster. Lost revenue, the money's there, we're not on a clock, we can get this right. And don't forget these other projects. We were forced to vote on Paradise Lane, the 911 center. We were forced to vote on Elizabeth Street. And what ended up happening? We were pushed through to vote for the respite housing. Just because we vote something through, we think, well, it'll happen faster, and this needs to happen. A lot of times rushing it ends up taking longer than planning it out correctly, checking all the boxes, making sure the questions are answered, having a real plan and moving forward. I was always very critical of Executive Hine. I said this earlier today to a couple legislators. But one thing the man did was he made sure he only had one capital project going at a time, and he had all his ducks in a row, and things happened on time and under budget with regards to most capital projects and most initiatives like this. But we don't even do that anymore. All the corruption with none of the efficiency. It's a wonderful place.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Yeah, I you know, just want to point out that this plan came to us over a month ago with members of both caucuses involved in before it was even submitted as a resolution. You know, we have a committee structure that these resolutions move through in this body. That is where these substantive conversations are meant to happen. I don't know why, you know, everything has to happen on the floor and everything has to be turned into a massive corruption conspiracy, but we did just hear that we've not done a single good thing. We've not done a single good thing except for the free buses. And that's just not true and frankly makes the rest of the argument hard to take seriously. You know, these concerns have been addressed. We have a crisis around children's mental health. And, you know, we're accused of never changing direction. The reality is this is a change in direction based on a change in needs and you know, hitting headwinds on the respite houses. So no one can say that we don't change directions on anything. I mean, we're just accused of everything and never doing anything well. So, this is just another one of these. We're going to have more of these tonight. And if this is how it's going to be this term, this is just how it's going
to
be.
I want to remind everybody, we are talking about a postponement right now. I don't want us to get far afield or I will shut this conversation down and we will move on. So if this is on this idea of postponing, I will allow it. If not, I'm going to move us along.
Can I also clarify, as a point of information, is it a postponement or a referral to committee?
The motion was postponement, but Okay.
I was just called a conspiracy theorist. Can I respond to that, Chair? Or are we going to allow those kinds of things to be thrown around? If I said that to somebody, there'd be a problem.
Legislator Harmon for the first time, please.
I won't be able to respond to that.
I will recognize you. Legislator Harmon for the first time.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not in favor of postponing this for a couple of reasons, but I think most crucial at this moment is that offering one solution into our county and doing so as efficiently as possible with the money that is available now that we would lose does not preclude us offering other solutions going forward, and I would absolutely be thrilled to work with any of my colleagues on coming up with creative alternative placements for pediatric mental health care.
Thank you. We are still on the postponement. I have Legislator Hansett, and then I have Maloney. I'm Kitchen for the first time, and then Maloney for the third time.
exactly what Legislative Harmon just said, is that that's why I would like a postponement, so that we can come up with perhaps a better solution where this can occur. I am totally on board for mental health services again, especially for our children. I don't think that we're in danger of losing this funding for 1 month postponement.
Legislator Kitchen. Could you use your microphone, sir?
I'm in support of what Legislator Hansen had said. My biggest issue is mixing children with a harm reduction center. They should not be in the same building. Different things we've heard and witnessed. I believe the children should have their own place to go, not mixed in with the Samadhi group. But second of all, you know, during meetings, and I was brought to light tonight from Legislator Hansett, that, and we spoke about earlier, is these services, according to data and surveys, more of these services are needed in the southern part of the county. And we've had discussions before that everything is in Kingston, everything is centralized. But the southern part of county, you know, I just feel like we're not doing enough for them. We need to, I believe, find a brick and mortar down in the southern part of the county for these children's mental health clinic. It seems the need is, based upon the data, the need is more in that area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Legislator Maloney, you've used your time, so if you can borrow time from someone, if someone will give you their time. Minority Leader Roberts, thank you.
Thanks. Quickly, it's unfortunate that on the Florida legislature during session, I'm going to be called names, but just to respond to that, first, the committee structure was mentioned. We need more committee meetings. I say it all the time. We need to probably have them in here so more people can come. Success is measured by how quick we can get through a large agenda. Watch the meetings. To the public that's here, to the reporters that are here, go watch our standing committee meetings and see how long the discussions
are.
I'm
going to ask you to keep your comments on the postponement that we're discussing.
I'm responding to some offensive comments made my way. With regards to,
I'll give you leeway for that, but I want to keep us on track.
Thank
here.
You, Chair.
Thank you.
$700,000 at Elizabeth Street. We're about to give it away for a dollar. Relationships are involved. 71 Grand Avenue, $11 million. Relationships are involved. Tim Lederman in CARES 1 and 2. Burt Golmick right now is in jail. Are those conspiracies? Majority Leader, no, they are not. And every single one of those things you were on the other side of and fought me exposing. Thank you.
On the postponement.
I think we're short no on the postponement, with one yes, Legislator Maloney.
Legislator
okay,
Hewitt.
We've got one yes, Legislator, two yeses, Hewitt and Maloney, and short no otherwise.
Short.
Let's do a long roll.
Can I comment on my, well, okay, during long roll?
Yes, during long roll, you have an opportunity to comment. This is on the postponement, just so we're all clear on where we're at.
On the postponement of Resolution 180, Clinton, I'm a no, but I would like to recognize that we should look at alternate locations beyond Kingston. Collins.
I'm a no, and I agree with the previous speaker. We should look for alternate locations for all of our services beyond Kingston and Ellenville.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
No.
Donaldson.
No.
Gavaris.
Yes. I'm sorry, no, and for the same reasons as Legislator.
I got it as a no. Green.
Yes on the postponement.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
No.
Hewitt.
I'm a yes, and the reason is I know a young woman who was institutionalized for mental health reasons, and my wife and I had her live with us for 5 months because she was homeless in Poughkeepsie. And because of the way she filled out a form, they started putting her in rubber rooms with a straitjacket and having sexual predators near her and other people with mental distress near her. And the stories she shared with us were heartbreaking. So I want to postpone to find the different location.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
No.
Nolan.
No.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
No.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
No.
Walls.
Yes.
So that's Levine.
For interests of postponement for 1 month, I will be a no, but I very much appreciate the comments made about for finding a location in the southern part of the county and addressing the need, but I will be a no on this today.
The postponement is defeated 11 to 12.
On the resolution.
Yeah, point of order, there's only 22 of us, not 23.
Thank you. On the resolution.
I believe on the resolution we're still a short yes with one no, Maloney.
Long roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
McDonald.
Yes.
DeBarrett.
Yes.
Green.
No.
Hanset.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
Yes.
Lopez.
No.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
This is on the resolution?
Correct.
Yes.
Roberts.
I'm a no.
Sperry. Yes. Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
Walls.
Yes.
Kitchen.
But that would be a no. And the reason why it's going to be a no is because I fully support Children's Mental Health Clinic and this initiative. But like I stated before, I just think the southern part of the county needs this right now more than, well, the whole county needs it, but there's a special need in the southern part of the county. Thank you.
Lopez.
Pass.
You're it.
No.
The resolution is adopted 14 to 8.
Madam Clerk, if you don't mind, I'm going to change my vote to a yes.
Madam
Clerk, I want to change my vote.
Anybody else before I announce the new vote? We're good? All right. The resolution is adopted 17-5.
The next resolution was pulled from consent, and that's 181. Amending the 2024 budget to enter into an interdepartmental agreement with the Sheriff's Department to provide security for the Center for Well-Being for 1 year, Department of Mental Health.
Discussion. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes, but Legislator Maloney asked for this to be pulled out of consent, so I'm guessing he's a no?
No, I'm a yes.
He's a
it
yes.
It could have changed for a discussion on certain
okay.
aspects of dates.
We're a short yes.
The last one didn't pass or was postponed.
And Minority Leader Roberts.
A short yes.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. The next resolution is 187, approving the execution of a contract for rates anticipated to exceed $50,000 entered into by the county, Westchester County Health Care Corporation, DBA Westchester Medical Center, Health Alliance Hospital, Mary's Avenue Campus, Department of Health.
Discussion? On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Short yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 189, reestablishing the Ulster County Trails Advisory Committee, Ulster County Legislature.
Yes, Minority Leader Robertson, Majority Leader Ushetel.
Thank you. I'm going to add the name of my colleague, Legislator Kovacs.
All in favor? Do we have to vote on that? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all in favor.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
The amendment is adopted 22-0.
And on the resolution as amended?
We are sure yes.
Sure yes.
Thank you. And again, thank you for serving on this committee.
The resolution is adopted as amended 22-0. The next resolution is a bond resolution 192, authorizing preliminary planning and equipment purchases for highway safety projects in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $250,000 and authorizing the issuance of $250,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Kovacs? Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
Yes.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Ferry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Ushetel?
Yes.
And Walz?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0. Resolution 193, amending capital project number 677, Golden Hill Transportation Improvements, amending the 2024 Capital Fund Budget, Department of Public Works.
Discussion? Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We're debating this tonight. Apparently, that out of traffic concerns, the Kingston Planning Department has ordered Penrose to put in a traffic gate at Golden Hill to alleviate some of the traffic concerns. I believe that Penrose should be paying for this, not the County of Ulster. I will be voting for 193 because I think the gate should be done, but I will not be voting for 194 to bond resolution.
Any further discussion? Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, that goes with the $2 million demo of the jail and other buildings behind there that were fully functional that we now are buying other multi-million dollar buildings to do, but it was supposed to be done by Penrose. We were told years ago these things were going to be done by Penrose, but like all relationships with the county, the billion-dollar entity makes out, and we move on because we always feel as though we need them more than they need us. There does need to be a gate there. There also needs to be a traffic light there, which we're told is coming. The traffic light should have come first. It's far more expensive and far more difficult. And now we've had years and years and years of this Penrose development still not happening, so there is a chance it falls apart. So why spend this money? When the real question is, when does this traffic light get in and when does they start actually breaking ground? They keep coming up to us telling us they need more money, and we keep giving it to them. So I'm sure that'll continue, and this is just another example of that. But like Kevin, I'll be a yes on the gate and a no on the bond, which, quite honestly, is silly to bond for this amount of money. We keep saying it, but it doesn't matter. We're never going to sit down and figure out whether the interest rates are at a number where it benefits us to bond, and at this point it probably doesn't. But our finance department is not capable of figuring out if it's a beneficial bond or not, so we just keep bonding for everything.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes entirely, as we just heard.
Short yes. I believe one no, Lopez.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. The next is the bond resolution authorizing the issuance of an additional $119,147 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York, to pay part of the cost of the Golden Hill transportation improvements in and for said county. Clinton?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
No.
Criswell?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Guevaras?
Yes.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
No.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
No.
Kitchen?
No.
Kovacs?
No.
Levine?
Yes.
Lopez?
I'm going to be a no for two reasons. One, I don't think it's our responsibility, and two, I think it's if it was our responsibility, it's ridiculous to bond $119,000 when we have $100 million in the bank.
Maloney?
No. Ditto.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes, this is a gate that the community has been asking for a long, long time, and it's going to improve the traffic conditions at the site, and it's not unreasonable to bond for it, so I'm a yes.
Roberts?
By voting yes, I'll be voting to give a $119,000 handout to a $1 million corporation, so I'm going to be voting no.
Sperry?
Yeah.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
Walls?
No.
The resolution is defeated because a bond resolution needs 16 votes to pass. This vote is 13-9. I mean, you might want to tell me I'm right, Council.
You're right.
Okay.
So, and the project still happens. We just take the money out of all that massive sitting money that the state comptroller keeps telling us is too high.
Okay, we're going to continue to move on.
Resolution 193, amending capital project number 677, Golden Hill Transportation Improvements. We already did it, I'm sorry. 195, approving the execution. I'm trying to think through how we're going to do this one, too.
You're right.
Sorry. Approving the execution of a contract for $108,316.20 entered into by the county, Geocorp Contracting, Inc., Department of Public Works.
On the resolution, or any discussion? On the resolution.
I believe we are short yes.
We're going to be a short yes with no idea how we're going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. The resolution is adopted 22-0. Okay. Resolution 202 was pulled from the consent agenda. And that is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 4 of 2024, a local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster in relation to certain employment restrictions to be held on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024 at 7:05 p.m.
Discussion. Legislator Maloney.
It's just for clarity. It's just a public hearing, but we had a law in the books for many years that negated the ability for legislators to receive management-appointed jobs for a couple of years after they left their term. This just updates that law because it was pre-charter. Now it applies to all elected officials. I think the majority of the county would appreciate that if your son or daughter graduates college, they want to get a job with the county, which is, I believe, the largest employer in the county. They're not going to lose that job to a former legislator that had carried the water for the executive for 6 to 8 years. They're going to have an equal chance at that job, and everyone else in the county will have an equal chance. I think it's good government. I think most, if not all, of our constituents would agree that a three-year hold-off for legislators and other elected officials to get a $100,000 a year appointed position is fair and good government. And it's called public service. There's a sacrifice. So if you want to get a job with the county, don't be an elected official for a couple of years.
On the resolution.
We're short, yes.
Short, yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0.
Is this our last resolution?
It sure is.
Hey, that's nice.
Sure is. 204. Appointing and reappointing members to the Ulster County Industrial Development Agency Board of Directors.
Legislator Harmon.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to refer this back to committee, please.
I'll second that.
There's a referral and a second. And on the motion.
On the motion, I think we're going to need a long roll.
Okay.
On the motion to refer Resolution 204 back to the Economic Development Committee. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
No.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guevaras.
Going to recuse for purpose of employment.
Green. Yes. Hansett.
No.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
No.
Kitchen.
No.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
No.
Lopez.
No.
Maloney.
Pass.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. You know, I'm a firm believer in the committee system. The Economic Development Committee put a lot of time. They came in on a Saturday, spent all day there. I came up part of this interview process. There's another interview process. Two candidates came to follow a meeting. We sat there. We took part in it. I was part of the process. Thank you, Chair Sperry, for allowing me to be part of it. You know, they put a lot of hard work in. They did this, you know, matrix scoring system. It was quite complex. I was very impressed. They did a good job. So I'm going to vote no on to it'd be a slap in the face to the Economic Development Committee by voting yes. So I'm going to vote no.
Sperry.
No.
Stewart.
Yes.
You should tell.
Pass.
Walls.
No.
Maloney.
Where are we at?
There's eight yeses.
No.
And you should tell.
Yes.
Okay, hold on one sec. I just want to make sure I get it right. So that's defeated 9-12 with one recusal.
On the resolution. Sorry, Legislator Maloney would like to speak. Yes, sir.
I have long had issues with the IDA. I struggle to find a single pilot that makes any sense. It's cost our school districts tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars over the past several years. It's about jobs. I don't even think, and nor did I in the beginning, I don't think most legislators even understand what the IDA is. At times, they are not even able to tell me what the three letters IDA stand for. I don't think people here in this room, most of us, could tell us what the UTEP is, what the UCCRC is, what the Paris Report is. And if you go back and listen to those interviews, you'd hear things like one of the returning members telling us his ideal pilot is a project south of here that it turns out he owns. So his example of a great pilot was his own. Somebody from Zinc 8, on his application, he told us that consultant I always mentioned was the one that told him to apply. Somebody that consults for Zinc 8, the only pilot given out over the last 2 years that is now a mess and a disaster, was trying to get onto the IDA, and no one in the room besides myself had the audacity, I guess, to ask him if he thought he was conflicted. Another long-term IDA member that was hoping to return explained the elephant in the room that was the Kingstonian and how he has regrets, and he used the word push him and other members were pushed to pass that controversial pilot.
Point of order? Was this an executive session?
No, it was not. So, thank you.
I was asking the chair.
It was not an executive session?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Please continue.
Let me try to regain my train of thought here before another interruption. That member talked about the Kingstonian and acknowledged that he and other members of the IDA were pushed to pass it. When I asked who pushed, I think we need to know that it's a $70 million pilot that's quite controversial. Who pushed you? We need to know if members of our IDA are being influenced or pressured. I was interrupted by someone on the committee and said, don't answer, we're not going to turn this in to an inquisition, so we weren't even allowed to get to the bottom of that. Other members trying to return couldn't answer some of the simplest questions about what an abatement is, what kind of taxes we give away. This was the blind leading the blind. We have a problem here. The reason we have an IDA is because it's expensive to do business in the Northeast, in New York State. There is language in the IDA that talks about all kinds of different things, how you can't move from one part of the state to another and get an IDA abatement. Do you know why? Because it was never meant for competition inside the state. It was always meant to compete with Tennessee for a Volkswagen manufacturing plant, for a Global Foundries chip manufacturing plant. Other than that, these IDAs are meant to sit there and for the most part collect dust. But that's not what we do. We just give out these little tax breaks to all these people with their hands out. We give away these hard-earned school dollars. There is a million ways to enrich developers and give developers money to build housing. The one mechanism that is not for that is the Industrial Development Agency. But that's all I heard in those interviews. One of my colleagues said, two hours there went by and didn't hear the word job. So we ourselves do not know enough about the IDA and how it's supposed to work, which is why no one's going to step up and say, I know what the UCCRC is, Joe. I know what UTEP is. I know what Paris reports are. No one's going to shut me up and sit here and debate me. Not many of you, at least. I'd be shocked if any of you could sit here and actually talk about what the UCCRC is. A major part. Neither could the people that we're putting on the IDA. Many of them have been there for years. And now all they want to do is housing. So I'm a no. I'm very happy that a classy individual is going to be on there that knows what he's doing and has the backbone to politely say no at times. Other than that, I'm thoroughly worried about this county.
Legislator Harmon for the first time.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I would like to also thank the committee for what sounds like a very, very deep and thorough process. That being said, one of the beauties of our legislative process is that things go through committee, then they come out of committee, and in this particular case, new information came to light that should inform our decision-making, especially if we want to be a body that operates with the integrity to not rubber stamp decisions. This is a classic opportunity and example of us not doing that and taking the time to get it right through full use of our legislative process. I in good conscience, I cannot put this through as it stands.
Thank you. Legislator Collins. We did. That was defeated, yes. We're on the resolution now. Legislator Collins.
On the resolution, I attended the second meeting where they interviewed the two candidates, and what struck me was how thorough the committee was in vetting these candidates. Our previous speaker talked about a concern about housing be considered part of an IDA. I'm concerned about housing having been considered part of an IDA. One of the candidates who is been selected specifically said housing should never be part of an IDA. So those things have been vetted. Those things have been talked about. You know, I think that there are some concerns with certain members that I've heard, but I think overall the committee worked really hard. They worked through a process that was complete and thorough. And frankly, I'm tired of our body being insulted by a member of our body. We did hard work. We did good work. The committee did good work. And please understand that that committee is responsible, thoughtful, and careful professionals. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I just want to second Legislator Harmon's comments and say that the process was good, but the process includes up until this vote, and there has been additional information shared among legislators who were not part of the committee and were not able to be a part of the interview process that is troubling. And so in the situation where the body as a whole did not send this back for further evaluation, I feel that I cannot vote for this entire slate. So I'm a no.
Thank you. On the resolution.
We're going to need a long roll.
On resolution 204, Clinton.
No.
Collins.
Pass.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Donaldson.
Yes.
Guevaras.
Recused for the purpose of employment.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
No.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
No.
Nolan.
No.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I am very torn by this vote. I agree that the candidate in question was very impressive in his interview, and I felt very strongly in favor of him at the time. Since then, I've heard comments from my fellow legislators that I find concerning. I feel this should have gone back to committee, and I feel like I'm unable to really vote for this at this time, so I'm going to take a pass.
You'll still have to come back and vote. I'll still call your name to vote. A pass is just moving your name in the roll.
Well, that's disappointing to hear. Yes, come back to me in a moment, please.
You should tell.
I'm going to go with my gut on this one and join what appears to be the dissent in voting against this. I'm a no.
Walls.
Yes.
Collins.
No.
Stewart.
No.
The resolution is adopted 14-7 with one abstention, Legislator Guevaras, for the purposes of employment.
Thank you. We are now going to move on to the public comment portion. So this is on issues that were not in front of the legislature tonight. Clerk Fabella, do we have anybody signed up for public comment?
We do have one person signed up, and that is the current supervisor, Michael Baden.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. I'm here to address two topics tonight. The first in your communications in your packet, in your agenda, is a release from the county executive that speaks about the release of the EMS report. I will tell you, I serve on the EMS task force. That was a task force started under County Executive Ryan that continued. We have not met since last May. The reason we have not met is we've been waiting for this report. It's finally out. I will say, I think it's a little coincidental that it's ironic that 5 days after I asked about the report, suddenly it was made available, but that's an aside. What is really disheartening is nobody on the county EMS committee was given a copy of this report. We served on that task force for months. We have not met since May. We have not had a communication from the county since August. Hasn't been dissolved, nothing. Now this report comes out. It's going to be the, we're told it has going to have all the answers. Quite frankly, I've read through it. It has some very good information. It has a ton of data. We had all that data before. So I'm just saying, I realize this is an executive office report. It is not from this body, but I'm asking the legislators to ask the hard questions. Where is this county going with EMS? How are we going to solve the problems of EMS? There's a quote that we are at a crossroads. We are not at a crossroads. We are in the center of the road, and those lights coming at us are the truck that's coming down the road. We need to solve this. We need to solve it soon. And I apologize for my passion, but I went into this committee not knowing much about EMS, and I sat in the room, and then those of you who know me are a little surprised. I listened. There were a lot of really smart people in this room, and we weren't even included in the end of the report. That's really disappointing. I see my time is up. I'm going to ask for a little indulgence. As many of you know, I am resigning or have resigned as supervisor as of April 27th, next week. I want to thank all of you for your service. I want to let you know Mike Baden's not going anywhere. You will still see me at meetings. I will continue serving on a number of county committees. There are a few less than I will than previous, but I want to say thank you to all for all you do in serving. And take care of yourselves. Take care of your families. I finally reached a boiling point that I had to leave, and hopefully you will do the same. But thank you for what you all do.
Thank you, Supervisor. We appreciate your work. I'd like to call on Legislator Deborah Clinton to read the names of community members who have recently passed.
Martha Giametti, Marlborough. Veronica Williams, Marlborough. Rosalie DeGoda, Marlborough. William Russert, Jr., Marlborough. Antonio Vitale, Marlborough. Carlos Aramez, Modena. John Moriarty, Kingston. Joseph Christofora, Kingston. Charlie Kane, Kingston. Donald Sanders, Kingston. Marjorie Blythe, Ellenville. Patricia Lasser, Kingston. Richard Metcalf, Kingston. And Gloria Lipton, Kingston.
Thank you, Legislator. Now I'd like to call on Legislator Joe Donaldson to offer some closing words for the evening. I'm sorry, the public comment period is closed. Please, Legislator Donaldson.
Hello, everyone. I was tasked with the closing words for this meeting. It is, since Earth Day is Monday, this is going to be a poem about the Earth. I feel a little underqualified because I think it should be Mana Jo. Congratulations on your award, Mana Jo. So this is called The Great Earth Poem by Frances Dugan. She provides us with every survival need. The great earth is truly a great earth indeed. For our very existence on her we depend, yet we do not treat her as our greatest friend. We create carbon in the environment for our financial gain, but in doing so, we deprive the great earth of rain. Without rain, she cannot grow crops, which to famine gives rise. As the world's most evolved life form, we are not very wise. When the great earth that feeds us for our financial gain we abuse, for our own extinction we may have lit the fuse. But for us to change our environmental practices, it's not too late. Otherwise, for future generations, huge problems we will create. Every life form of the world that run, walk, fly, swim, or crawl, future generations may become the victims of our foolish gain. Greed.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. The next regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature will be held on Tuesday, May 14th, 2024 at 7 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor, Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Resolution deadline is Wednesday, April 17th, 2024, and I'd like to ask for a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Oh, okay. Hearing none. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned.